Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sheila Shoiga, and this is Ready to Be Real Conversations, the podcast series where I chat to people of all walks of life. Some names you'll recognise, others you might not, but my hope is that these conversations will at times inspire, challenge, educate, comfort, or simply entertain you. This week, I speak to clinical hypnotherapist and best-selling author Fiona Brennan about sleep.
I'd say it's number one, to be honest, because you, if you're not sleeping well, you're going to make poor choices in terms of your food, in terms of your exercise. So once you get your sleep in a good space, then everything else kind of flows from that.
Fiona lives in Dublin with her husband and business partner, Kieran, teenage son, Luca, and their dog, Rosie. And in this conversation, she explores some of the elements in her latest book, Sleep Well, 8 Habits to Help You Fall Asleep, Stay Asleep, and Wake Up Refreshed. She talks about our individual chronotypes, the power of napping, and what to do if we're in a negative feedback loop when it comes to our sleep. Fiona Brennan, how are you?
I'm great, Sheila. Thank you so much. I'm a well-slept lady, Sheila, which is, I'm so happy to say.
You've got to practice what you preach, isn't that it?
You really do, Sheila. Like, I'm actually very much believe in that. I think there's something unethical about, you know, telling people how to live and what to do to sleep well, to live well. And if you're not actually, you know, practicing that, then it's just inauthentic. And also, it's not about perfection. I do practice what's in the book, but not to perfection. I think that's another really important thing, that it's not this ideal. You know, we all have nights where our sleep could be better. Even when we are practicing, you know, doing everything right, there's still going to be things that impinge upon our sleep. Because it is
life happens.
Life happens. Yeah. There's so many challenges to it, which I've discovered through writing the book, just how much there is. It's like this incredible cave of gold that you open up and you realize there's so much to learn, there's so much to be done, and how much we really all can improve our sleep.
And I mean, at the moment, with all that's happening in the world, because you know, the last time we met was actually back in January when we were both in Dublin as part of one of the many national demonstrations in support of Palestine and Palestinians. And that is having an impact on a lot of us, if not everyone, whether they realize it or not. And the amount of information that we're getting through our phones, I know that I'm certainly guilty of being on my phone late at night. And of course, that has an impact on the quality of sleep that we're getting.
It really does, Sheila. It's quite it's incredible how negative it has an impact on people's ability to process and release emotion. And that's why, for example, as you say, you know, it's 6 months now, it's really just so horrific. And when things are that difficult in the world, we need to really take such good care of ourselves. And when we're sleeping well, we are processing our emotions so that when a person wakes up in the morning, they have actually regulated a lot of that stress and anxiety through the good sleep. And that's one of the key messages I make in the book, is that, you know, the more we awaken, the more we sleep well, the more that we're able to help make this world a better place. So it's like you prioritizing your own sleep is an act of self-love, but it's also an act of love for humanity, because you're in a much stronger position to be proactive, to be compassionate. And compassion is love in action. So it's like, you know, all of the campaigning that you're doing, all the activism, all of that, you have the energy to do it.
We need
you well slept, Sheila, to keep doing the work that you're doing, to be honest, you know. So it's that sense of how, when you are strong inside, when you're emotionally regulated, you really can give so much more.
Thank you for that, Fiona. I think that'll resonate with a lot of people listening, because I know a lot of people who listen to this podcast are on, I suppose, experiencing a lot of similar things to us. And I think if I'm feeling something, there's a good chance that somebody else is feeling it too. And also being aware, I suppose, that a conversation centered on sleep, we're fully aware of the luxury of that, for want of a better word, really, when you see what's happening. And look, I'm just going to say it because I think it's important to acknowledge, when we see what's happening and people are being murdered, people are being starved, we're now having a conversation about sleep. But as you said, and has been previously said in conversations, there's no point living with privilege if we don't use it in the correct way. And to use it in the correct way, we need to be resourced. We need to mind our nervous systems. We need to mind ourselves. We do need to get sleep. It's probably, I mean, we know it's one of the main pillars of health, and it's probably right at the top, I would imagine. Food, water, sleep. It's absolutely vital.
I'd say it's number one, to be honest, because like if you're not sleeping well, you're going to make poor choices in terms of your food, in terms of your exercise. So once you get your sleep in a good space, then everything else kind of flows from that. And you're absolutely spot on in terms of how we want to use our privilege for greater good, if you like, and that we are privileged enough to have somewhere safe to sleep each night. And that's another key message that goes throughout the book, is what is sleep really? It's about surrendering. It's about letting go. And how can we surrender and let go? Well, we need to feel safe. It's a basic human, you know, a need. It's not a desire. It's not a luxury. It is a need. And when we are fortunate enough to have that need met, like when we go to sleep tonight into our bed, it is a safe place. We can let go. And that's what we really need to train our nervous system to see, that, you know, we're not living in a war zone, right? You know, and we can sleep. If you are living in a war zone, you know, we can't have the same conversation, because you're talking to someone who is not safe. Therefore, how can their nervous system just release? They're in a place that is hugely under threat and danger. But we need to be able to know the difference in terms of our own system. Because when we have those thoughts, for example, if someone is scrolling last thing at night and reading the news, well, then that is going to create a sense of threat and fear within their own system, as if they are living in that condition. And the truth is, they're not. So the best thing that you can do is actually allow yourself to feel safe, to let go, to sleep well, and then you're in a position to actually be a positive force of good in the world, which I think is our job, really.
Yeah. What are the best ways of making ourselves feel safe? Because a lot of people, when they are viewing images or videos or talks or whatever it might be, they feel it very deeply. So allowing ourselves to feel it, which is a normal thing, and it's actually important to be able to feel. And it's, if you're not feeling, that's probably a bigger question to be asked.
Yes.
But how do we then move from that place of being horrified by something, by being very upset about something, to then feeling a sense of calm and safety in our own body? So as you said, that we can release, let go, and go into a nice, deep, nourishing sleep.
Yeah, well, what we're talking about here essentially is the difference between, let's say, empathetic distress and compassion. So we want to be in a place of compassion. And compassion is a sense of understanding and proactivity. It is this idea of love in action. When we've gone into empathetic distress, it's essentially, even if we take it out of the context of Palestine and Gaza at the moment, and you put it into, let's say, a funeral, for example, and it's maybe a friend's mother who's died, and you were close to the friend and the mother, and you're absolutely distraught, and you turn up at the funeral and you're so distraught that you are now distressing your friend and the people around you. So therefore, you've got to remove yourself. You need to process that emotion. There's nothing wrong with the fact that you feel distraught and upset. Of course you do. That's understandable. But what you want to do, it's not helping. What you want to do is kind of process that yourself, mind yourself, feel the emotion, release it, cry, and then be there as a source of strength and love and support to the family. So you might turn up and say, look, do you need dinner tonight? I'll come over. I've cooked a stew. I'll bring it over. And now you're becoming, that's compassion. That is love in action. You care just as much. It's not that you don't care less, but it's how you're channeling that energy. And therefore, you're doing something and you feel better. And when you feel better, you're going to sleep better, you know. So it's all, everything is connected in that sense. And we all, you know, it's really, especially in my work, Sheila, like I hear so much, you know, really tragic stories of people's lives. And, you know, most therapists burn out. I think I would have burnt out if I hadn't been all these years practicing what I preach. I'm no good to my clients if I am getting as upset as they are when they're sharing with me their own tragic stories and pasts and histories, you know, abuse, all sorts of really awful things that happen to people. And, you know, I remember when I first started this, I thought, I'm not strong enough. I'm not going to be able to do this, right? How can I take all of that on? And something kind of magic happened, Sheila. It's like somehow, some way, my intuition, I just knew, right, that I was able to be there for them in that moment. I give everything to my clients. Like I really care so much. But very early on, it was incredible. It was like I was able to just close that door. It's not that I don't care. It's that I care so much that I need to be there strong again for them the next time. So amazingly, I was sleeping well at night. I wasn't getting caught up. I thought I'd be there going, oh my God, you know, poor Siobhan, or, you know, this was awful that happened. But mercifully and almost intuitively, I've been able to make that sort of separation, if you like, of being present. And a lot of it comes down to presence. It's like, I'm here now, I'm talking to you, and that's where my attention is. That's what matters. And you bring that sense of same level of presence when you're going to sleep. When you're going to sleep at night, the only thing that matters is that you're resting, that you're letting go. And when you focus, when you take the focus away of like trying to get to sleep, or I have to get to sleep, and you put it on resting, well, then all of a sudden, the door to sleep just opens naturally. Your job now at that moment and that time is simply to rest. And sleep will come.
No pressure.
No pressure. Sleep will come to you. Mm. You don't go to it. It comes to you. Like, look at children, you know, see how they are. Sleep comes to them. They're not fighting, trying to get it.
Now, to somebody listening who is struggling to sleep, they might say, oh, it's easy for her to say, you know, I'm there lying in my bed. But, you know, as you said, the reason you're talking about this from a place of authority, no mind the expertise you're bringing to the table and the years of work that you've done, is that you live and breathe this work. So you know it works. You know for a fact. And I think a lot of the time people know what to do. And this is no shade to the people listening who are struggling, because I get it. And there have been times in my life when my sleep has been very difficult. And I know now why, because I had other stuff in my waking hours that I wasn't maybe dealing with, or was causing me stress and strain. And it was manifesting in my night's sleep that wasn't good. But I think people sometimes are afraid to actually implement the tips, which is basically what your book is all about. It's about taking you on a journey over the 8 weeks. And you got to do the work. Sometimes it requires, you know, having that tough conversation with somebody that you're avoiding. That's manifesting in a broken kind of maybe disturbed dreams at night, or whatever it is. Or if you have financial issues, which fully appreciate a lot of people have, particularly in these times. But there's so many things that we can do that can help us sleep
better.
What's
really interesting is you're right. I agree, and I don't, right? Because in my book, one of the things that is, I suppose, makes it very, very unique is the audio component, right? So when you say you need to make an effort, you're right, you do, in terms of the lifestyle habits, in terms of, you know, what you do in your own life to make a change. But what I have uncovered in my work is that I've helped thousands and thousands of people all over the world to sleep, and I've done it kind of indirectly and through my hypnotherapy audios. So, for example,
so you're doing the work for them.
I am teaching them the sleep well formula as they go to sleep. I guide you to sleep every night. So my voice brings people on that journey, and I'm teaching them and training them how to let go. So essentially, it's all of the subconscious is being cared for. Yes, you need to make a conscious effort, but subconsciously, I have got your back. I am doing that for you, right? And that is the kind of magic, if you like. And to give you an example of this, Dermot Whelan, who's a good friend of mine and kindly wrote the foreword for the book. Recently, it was in January as well. He was in Kilimanjaro on a charity hike. And he shared this story of how, you know, everyone around him, the group, were just going, oh, geez, I'm wrecked. The whole day, I'm wrecked. I'm exhausted. Didn't get any sleep on the side of the mountain, uncomfortable, etc. And Dermot was just kind of floating through it all. And he was like, I knew that I was going to sleep well that night. Even if it was only for a few hours, I had Fiona's audios and he would just put it on and he was gone. And he's still listening to them now, like months and months later, that he has consistently kept this going. And that's what I get back all the time, Sheila. So when you buy the book, you get access on my website to the full range of the audios. Yeah.
I needed you, how many years ago now? Probably 13 and a half years ago when I climbed Kilimanjaro myself. I definitely was probably one of those people who was like, I'm absolutely exhausted.
Yeah, and you're not alone.
Okay, do you know what? I'd love to get into the chronotypes because I think this is brilliant. We've all heard of the early bird and the night owl, but I hadn't heard until I read the book the terms that you have outlined. And I think they give more scope for people to connect with, because for me personally, I felt like for years I was a night owl. And then I became a parent and I was forced into shifting because my kids were up early. And now I'm not a night owl. I wouldn't be able to stay up for love nor money.
So basically, Dr. Michael Bruce came up with this, and there's four types of chronotypes. So he took the lark and he took the owl and he kind of expanded on them. So essentially, we've got the first one is the lion, and that is the really early morning person, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock, even earlier maybe. And they're full. They wake up and they're good to go. Right. That's the most effective time for them. They're able to focus, concentrate. Their best work is done in the morning. And they're one of those, if you're not a morning person, that can be really annoying. So like, hi, good morning. And you're like, just leave me alone. So that's the lion. OK, now the problem with the lion, and I'm speaking here from experience as well, is that they tend to fade very quickly. Right. So when the night comes, they're not the party person. They're like want to get home early. They just don't have that sustainability as the evening goes on. They want to get to bed early, obviously, because they've been up so early. So that's your lion. Then you move to the bear. Now, the bear is kind of probably the most like attractive, if you like, in terms of society and fitting into society. They work really well with 9 to 5. They're up like maybe 7, 8 a.m. They're going to bed at 11. They're good. You know, they have that kind of rhythm that fits very well. They'll be able to stay up till midnight, 1 o'clock without being totally wrecked. So that's the bear. Then you have the wolf, which is the kind of the night owl, if you like. Mm. And the wolf is the most challenging, if you like, in terms of society, right? Because you maybe you're speaking from experience here as well, that, you know, your time for maybe creativity and alertness and everything came later on, would start to kick in about 9, 10 o'clock, and you're full of ideas and you're full, you know, and the rest of the world kind of, you know, slowing down. And then that's really tricky then to get up the next day and have to go in and do a job. So that is the wolf. And then you've got the dolphin, right? And the dolphin is essentially really erratic, and this is where most people would be suffering from insomnia. So they might be up early one morning, they've got, you know, then the next they're up late at night. They've no real rhythm and no real routine, and their sleep is all over the place. That's the most challenging for people, and it really needs the most help in terms of the getting regular. Like, one of the most important things we can do is get up and go to sleep, I should say, at roughly, and I really do like that word, roughly the same time each and every day and night, because that is just pure gold in terms of the circadian rhythm and helping your system to feel safe. It knows, like, think about children. Again, we put them to bed at the same time. They get up roughly the same time, and that makes them feel safe. And we are no different. We really flourish under that.
So we have a 2-year-old who is definitely a wolf.
Okay, you've got a lion, wolf
so it's
in
very
your
interesting. Yeah, she would just keep going. It's
tricky.
Phenomenal how different she is to our son. It's
yes.
amazing.
Okay.
She has so much energy. But then when she goes into sleep, eventually she sleeps very well. It's important, I suppose, to know which one you are. And then maybe if you don't want to be a particular type or it doesn't suit your lifestyle, you know, you can make changes. Because as I said, you know, I definitely was more of a wolf, but I'm now not. And I don't want to go back to being a wolf, actually.
If people heard this out of context, I think you're mad.
I know, yeah. Actually, yeah, this should be the clip. This should be the clip that I use.
Exactly.
But you can change. You can.
And you've actually made one of the most significant and more challenging changes is from a wolf. I'd say you're probably more of a bear now, to be honest.
Probably a bear.
Yeah. And I changed over the course of the book. I was more of a lion and I'm now more of a bear. And it definitely is helping me more because I found like I was just no crack at all. Like by sort of 9 o'clock at night, I was going, oh God, I'm not good. And people are going, Fiona, are you going to bed? Yeah, I'm going to bed. And, you know, so it's nice to be able to just have that little bit longer in the evening to have a bit of more of a social life. So I definitely did kind of stretch myself out from the really early morning riser. So it is possible to tweak it. Yeah, it is possible. It takes time and it does take that conscious effort. But like I said, the audios are there to help you, right? And they are, what's wonderful about the audios again is that I am programming you as you sleep to encompass and to embody the habits as well. So you're listening to this as you go to sleep, for example, you know, you're going to go to bed at the same time, you're going to wake up at the same time. So a lot of it is subliminally helping you to create those positive habits. And that's kind of key to a lot of my work is that subconscious component.
And we're probably all aware of that image of the iceberg where there's the tip outside and you can see the tip and then the vast amount of ice under the water. And that's the subconscious mind. That's the power of it. There's so much there to tap into that we're not even aware of. And by you speaking to that part, that powerful part of the brain, it's doing the work. Really powerful stuff. Another part of the book, so many parts that really jumped out to me, but I love that piece. As I think for a lot of Irish people, we can be, I suppose, guilty, for want of a better word, of it. I certainly can be myself until I kind of catch myself and how I'm speaking to myself. But it's the negative feedback loop. And you have statements in there of things we say to ourselves, like, oh, I'm knackered, I'm exhausted. And often we say these things over and over as just a normal part of everyday life without realizing actually, okay, you're reaffirming that feeling every time you do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, this is something I know Jerry Hussey talks a lot about as well, and that is the power of our thoughts, right? And so, first of all, the thought in your own mind, and then also when you affirm it out loud to other people, what you're doing is you're sort of manifesting, creating the very thing that you don't want, right? And what we want to do is to really turn that around 360 degrees. So we start to change the narrative. You need to change the narrative, because as long as you continue to tell yourself that you're wrecked, that you're a poor sleeper, that you just, you know, there's nothing can be done, you've tried everything, that is just really kind of unfortunately creating the very thing that you don't want to do. And it also creates a negative chemical reaction in the body. So sleep is really about getting the nervous system into that calm rest and digest place. And when you have a thought like, oh no, like tomorrow morning I've got that meeting, I'm going to be wrecked, right? You're actually putting a command into the subconscious, like as if you're talking to a child. And I think what's lovely as well is to bring it, like, take it out of the internal experience with ourselves and imagine going into your son or your daughter. Can you imagine, Sheila, waking them up and saying, have you done your homework? And they go, what do you mean? Is it good? Have you done it properly? I don't know. You're going to be wrecked when you go into school tomorrow. You know that, aren't you? And I bet you anything, your classmate has done a better job than you've done. So just to let you know, now sleep well, good night. And that's what we do to ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. So it's being able to see that these thoughts are, they're actually an act of cruelty to ourselves. They're so unkind. Like, you wouldn't speak to anyone like that. You wouldn't wake them up to sort of compare them to other people, to make sure that they, you know, to tell them they're going to be wrecked the next day. You'd be there and you'd be guiding them and you'd be saying, you're doing great. That's all right. You've done your best. Let it go. Sleep well, my love. And that's what we need. We need that internal voice for ourselves. We need to create that sense of safety. It's our job now. As a parent, it's our job to children. But when we become adults, this is our job and we can do it. And that's what's very empowering, is when you train yourself to have this inner companion, this inner place of love and security, then you are free to let go, essentially. And that's a big message throughout the book as well.
And you can catch yourself when you are finding yourself falling into the trap of saying the negative statement. You can either add some more words to it to soften it somewhat, or just stop, be aware of it, and hopefully it might limit you saying it again, or switch it up with something positive.
Yeah, it's kind of, you can, but what you want to do is not lie to yourself. You've got to be careful here as well. It's like, you know, what's really helpful is I am learning to become a better sleeper. I'm training myself at the moment. So that resonates because it's the truth. And people underestimate their sleep as well. They often say that it's worse than it is, right? And there's research to show that, which I think is really fascinating. And it's all to do with the expectation effect. So essentially, it's like the complaining good sleeper, right, will say, I'm wrecked, right? But when you put these complaining good sleepers into a sleep lab and you monitor their brains, what you discover is that most of them are getting the minimum 7 hours required. But the negative messages, the negative feedback loop that they're giving themselves is actually creating, on a neurochemical level, the exhaustion. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. Yeah.
Because I know somebody like that.
Yeah. I think we all do, Sheila. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll say they're a terrible sleeper, and then you kind of have a little peek in and you'll see them conked out.
Just conked.
But you know what's really unfortunate is that those people, right, are actually really experiencing the side effects of insomnia. So essentially, even though they're not physically, you know, insomniacs, they experience it, and therefore they do deserve our empathy just as much. Because they are wrecked, and the reason they're wrecked is because they're telling themselves that, and they're exhausted from their own, they're draining themselves out, and it's not intentional and it's not their fault. And I think that's really important, is always to bring compassion to it and understanding, and say, well, you know, like in the book I talk about your sleep story and what is the relationship you have with sleep, and how has that sort of been shaped, if you like, from your childhood, from your parents' relationship with sleep, from what was it like around sleep growing up? Were you told you were, you know, a lot of people were told, oh, sure, you never slept. You were a terrible sleeper. And then that kind of can become a self-fulfilling prophecy, negative.
Yeah.
So we need to understand, the more we understand that, the more we're able to actually change it.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Actually, on that, because I know from speaking to friends and different homes have just different approaches to sleep. And some people like to nap or have a weekend little power nap. How do you feel about that?
Very strongly. I do it every day myself if I can. I'd say 6 days out of 7 I will have what's known as an NSDR, non-sleep deep rest.
And yoga nidra, basically.
Right? Or hypnotherapy, absolutely. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
In the sense, what you're doing is, and you've got to be really strategic about it. So you want to make sure that it doesn't go, that the magic number is 23 minutes, right? That is like in the book I interview Dr. Sarah McKay, who I think takes sleep to a new level. Like she's just... like she's brilliant, brilliant sleeper, and she really prioritizes it. And she talks about the strategic napping, so that you want to make sure that you don't go into too a deep sleep. Because you know when people say, oh, I have a nap and I'm just exhausted then for the rest of the day, it's almost counterproductive. You want to make sure that you're staying in that non-sleep deep rest place. So you're kind of floating in and you're floating out. And what's that's doing is it's cleaning and washing the brain for you. And you feel so refreshed. It's also a very good time for neuroplasticity, for change in the brain. So it consolidates any learning. So for example, if you're learning a new language or you're studying for exams or whatever it might be, the most intelligent thing that you can do is stop, take 23 minutes or so, listen to something, go into that place, and your brain is actually, it's at that time that the learning is happening. That's when the change is happening.
Fascinating. So
I'm a big believer. Like I think I shared this in the book, is I even one day we were in Italy and I was exhausted. It was so hot. We were looking at all the beautiful Uffizi and going around. I said, lads, I'm just going to go outside. And I sat in the middle of this really crowded, piazza. And I literally put on my headphones and I went into that place for 20 minutes or so.
Did you set an alarm, as a matter of interest?
Well, I would probably be listening to something. I'd probably be doing one of my own hypnotherapies.
So you'd automatically wake up out of it.
What's amazing, yeah, you do. Like you think it's wow. And that's because you're in that lighter stage. So, you know, you'll hear the count up and now you're going to close, you know, your eyes will open and 1, 2, 3 and you're back and you're refreshed. And it's it's amazing, actually. It really is. We need to rest. Like we are busy. We need to rest. It has to be yin and it has to be yang. We can't be all yang. We'll just wear ourselves out completely. And then, like we were saying earlier, we're no good to anyone. We're not able to actually really contribute in a meaningful way. So that's where I sort of always, that kind of erodes any guilt quite quickly. It's like you're actually helping people when you're resting.
Mm. This is such a huge topic. There's so much in the book that you explore. Sleep well, 8 habits to help you fall asleep, stay asleep and wake up refreshed. But you have spoken about it from the beginning of the chat right through. But good sleep habits, the stuff that you do during the day and maybe that crucial hour or two before sleep. What would you say are the most important things? Because that feeling of safety and surrender is definitely going to stay with me. I love that. Mm. I absolutely love that. And I get it. And it rings really true. Because a lot of people think that they're doing the right thing, but maybe they're actually they're sabotaging their own sleep of that night by what they're doing. What would you say are the most important things to implement?
Well, there are 8 habits, and I would say we've touched on one of them in terms of resting, in terms of processing emotion throughout the day. And an analogy I like to give is, like, imagine your kitchen, and say you have your breakfast, your lunch, your dinner. The whole family is at home all day. You have breakfast, lunch, dinner, then you have snacks in between, and all the dishes are piling up. And it's like, it can seem overwhelming. The kitchen is a mess. We're a little bit like that with our emotions, right? If we leave them unprocessed during the day, we get into bed at night and it's like a tsunami wave. The thoughts come in. The feelings are still in the body. They haven't been processed. So resting during the day, the NSDR, that's, you know, is really important. Unwinding before bed, checking in with yourself. What's going on? What's happening here? What am I trying to deal with? Allows you then to just let go. That's, you need to prepare the mind, if you like, so that it is in a place of safety to let go. But on a really practical level, I would say, and something I do myself every morning that I can, is to get up and to get out. You want that natural light. It is black and it is white, the difference it makes in terms of your circadian rhythm. It's like a lever that's been pushed, right? That is releasing melatonin. So in 16 hours, you will start to get sleepy. But you need to get that light, right? And it's not the same looking through a window. It's 50 times less of impactful in terms of the difference on your system. So you want to get up and you want to get out. And ideally, you sort of combine that with movement, right? So you'd be up and you'd be out and you could be even doing yoga on your garden. You could be going for a walk, a run, get the dog out. Or if that's not possible or your schedule's so tight, which a lot of people is, you basically just get your cup of tea and your breakfast and sit outside. Get the light in. And the more overcast the day, the longer you need to be out. So in Ireland, we have a lot of overcast days. So 20 minutes minimum is what you're looking at. And if it's not warm, get a big coat on you. I do it myself all the time, and just sit out. And it's kind of like, it's really reassuring. It's like the, it's like you're giving yourself the best opportunity to sleep well that night, and you know it. So it's very, it's, that's compassion, right? That's love in action. You're doing it and you feel the benefits of it. So that would be, I'd say those two are the really integral ones. Now, everything plays its part, but if you were to ask me to highlight, I would say those are the two habits I think that really make a difference.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you so much. This has been absolutely fantastic. You're one busy woman. You have a lot of different events and you do retreats, and you have one coming up in May.
I do. Thank you, Sheila. Yeah, the King Coil Sleep Well Experience is happening on the 19th. It's a Sunday, the 19th of May in Blessington, County Wicklow. And essentially what's lovely about this day is that I'm going to bring the guests on a journey of what it is like to experience a day where you sleep well that night. So we're going to encompass and practice the 8 habits within the book. So it's a really wonderful opportunity to train yourself of what it takes to sleep well, and also to ask me questions, because people always have questions when it comes to sleep. So there'll be that opportunity to ask me questions directly, and also some lovely hypnotherapies and sound bath and all sorts of wonderful things happening. And I have a lovely Dr. Robert Kelly, cardiologist, coming to speak as well about heart health and sleep. So it's a fantastic day.
And, you know, for those, again, just going back to what we were saying at the beginning, if people are really struggling to let go and sleep well in this time, to be gentle, to have compassion for yourself, and like, you're no good to anyone. We all know that. You're no good to anyone if you're not looking after your own needs. And that is, it's not selfish. We know how triggering the notion of self-care can be right now, because we're coming from that place of privilege. But nonetheless, if we want to activate in our lives, we want to help, whether that's signing petitions or having those difficult conversations or highlighting Palestinian accounts or whatever it might be, you got to resource yourself, you got to mind yourself, and sleep is absolutely crucial. So this is a book that I think is going to fly off the shelves, Fiona.
Oh, thank you, Sheila, for having me. And dare I say it, but you are going to sleep so much better now. I know it. I feel it.
Yeah, I think so. I think so too. Thanks a million.
I think so. You're really welcome. Thanks for having me. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, please search previous sleep episodes with sleep coach Tom Coleman from August 2020, along with the 7-minute sleep meditation that I recorded also back in 2020. And go to the show notes for more info on Fiona's upcoming event in May. Thank you so much for listening to Ready to Be Real.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of 1. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, You're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.